Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. All of you out there in the listening world on disk, internet, we are having a tornado type of storm, a good Texas thunderstorm that I'm told that people come out of other states, they don't even know what this is like. Yeah, man. Well, that's why I said I don't know. I just know people have come in from various states, and if we would have one of these thunderstorms, and they just freak out. And I would have thought they would have been everywhere eventually. And, over the last many years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, major ones. I mean some major ones.
Category 5?
Yeah. That's a major one.
It didn't blow you away.
You missed the house by half a mile.
Missed your house?
It's going due east of the turn.
This guy and a couple of streets over from Buster Brown there in Wichita Falls, yeah, standing out in the front yard with his kids, and he saw the roof of a house two blocks over that he knew just flying over, a whole roof just flying over.
There you got taken out.
Yep. And he told his two boys, he said, go in the house and get in the tub. Yeah. No, Dad, we want to watch. Go in the house now and get in the tub at the center of the room, center of the house. He goes in there, and they were in there taking a bath. They were undressed, and they had the water running and all this. And he just started dying. He just started laughing. He said, no, I didn't mean to take a bath. Just, yeah, why else would you get in a tub?
And
I wasn't here. Yeah.
After school, and some little boys came running in and saying, there's a tornado. So what do we do? We all ran out.
Yeah, put out to look at it.
It was about 2 miles from us. But you could see stuff in it. You couldn't tell what it was.
Oh, wow. See, I've never been that close to a tornado.
That was a big one.
Wow. Okay, let's open the Bibles to the Gospel of John 15. Gospel of John 15. Okay, we need to be in prayer for Heather as she gets close to having a baby. She hadn't had it as of today, this morning, so I don't know.
And when I call you, they want the preacher there in case something happens. You can survey the whole
situation. Oh, no, I don't go near those. Dead bodies, I'll go near. A pregnant mother getting ready to deliver, I'll get as far away as I can.
That's funny.
Need to be in prayer for Tish. Need to be in prayer for the Risleys. I don't know if y'all knew, I announced it last night, Sunday, but last night. In the little community where the Risleys live, there's a police set up where they stop cars and do that kind of stuff. Well, about 10 to 14 days ago now, 30 people were gunned down at that little corner, right down from their house. And the drug cartel is killing citizens at random, and the reason for that is so that the citizenry will put pressure on the local police and the local government police to ease up on the drug cartel. And where Courtney, their daughter who is a doctor, where she lives, in one of the school playgrounds, the car came by and threw a grenade in the school playground, and they had a note on the fence that if the mayor does not let up on the drug cartel and stop supporting the police and the federales, when they throw that grenade next time, there'll be children in the playground. And, I mean, it's getting bad.
Yeah. Mexico could go under.
Yep. So it's we need to be in prayer for the Risleys at this time. Need to be in prayer for Dan and Pat and John and Judy. So any other prayer requests? Yes.
I have a Harmony. It's nothing personal about it, but I've been praying that the Lord would just remove our president at this next election.
Absolutely, absolutely. I thought you were more in line with my prayer that he would just remove him.
Second one better,
but it's.
You said remove him, but you didn't say how to remove him.
It's dangerous times historically for this country for those. But you know, I was I reminded. I forgot who it was I talked to today, but anyway, a friend of mine in Houston, Rod, Richmond. That Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looked over Jerusalem when they were in idolatry, and he just wept. And I weep over this country, but I think it's here, and I think that we just need to stand firm in the Lord and like that. Okay, let's turn to John 15, and let's begin with the word of prayer, orient ourselves as to where we are and why we're here, and let's. Have some fellowship in the Word. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this book. We thank you, Father, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see that we cannot see without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Pray that he will open our eyes to things tonight that you would have us to grasp. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are in John 15 and verse 10. And you'll recall that we spent, the last time we met was we spent time on the plural and the singular of the commands. In verse 10, if you keep my commandments, plural, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments, plural, and abide in his love. And then we took time to go back and look how in the same kind of context it's in the singular. We looked at 1 John chapter 3 and we saw that it had singular and plural right there together. So we spent a lot of time on the plural and the singular. You can look at it as a plural, walk by faith or have faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and love one another. So you can look at that as two things, or you look at it as one. When you walk by faith in the Spirit, you love one another. So it can be looked at either way. All right, now here in 15:10, let's get back to work now. If you keep my commandments, and how do we keep them? By walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, and the commandments plural, faith and love. And what happens if you continue in faith in the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit of love? What happens? You will abide in my love. This is how you do it. It's not a magic. It's not any secret trick. You will abide in my love. And we learn something about the commandment in verse 9. In verse 9 was the commandment, abide in my love. Look back at verse 9. Jesus, just as the Father has loved me, I have loved him. Abide in my love. That's Jesus Christ telling us to abide in his love. Okay? So then it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So you see, he's answered how to do it. So verse 9, abide in my love. Okay? How do we do that? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So it's very, very simple as to the how. And so we learn that this is up to each individual believer. If you abide in his love or not, it's entirely up to you. It's not anything mystical or magical. It's just a simple matter. And the future tense of the word, to abide, each believer makes his decision throughout his life. Now we have something interesting. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Then he says, just as. There's that adverb of manner. Just as, in the same way. I have kept my Father's commandments. And we spent some time with just as, the new commandment, love one another, just as I have loved you. He upped the ante from the Old Testament, the old commandment, love one another as you love yourself. Christ upped the ante, love one another just as I have loved you. And we spent time on deity and the humanity of Christ and all. So now tonight we want to move on from that. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments. Okay, for anyone who thinks that obeying these commandments is legalism for a believer, just be careful, for here is Jesus Christ keeping the commandments of his Father. So we have to be very careful. And he pleased not even himself. Let's look for a moment at Romans 15:3, please. Romans 15:3. Jim, you think it's passed? It's quiet out there. Is it already passed over? They said it's passed. I know it. So, huh? Go ahead about that. Let's look at Romans 15:3. For even Christ did not please himself. Just as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach thee fell upon me. But the point I want you to see is that even Christ, and that's the humanity of Jesus Christ, that's the Messiah, the Anointed, even the Christ did not please himself. And we live in a time when it's just the standard procedure to please yourself. To please yourself, and when you'll go to church, and what you'll do, and where you go, and how you're going to use your money, and all these things, it's really around its pleasing self. Even Jesus Christ, and it says even in Romans 15:3, even Christ. So if he didn't, how much less you and I? So if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, then you have to walk as he walked. Going to have to live as he lived. Let's look at 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 6. The one who says he abides in him, that's what you claim. For the word says, claims. For the one who claims that he, the believer, abides in him, Jesus Christ, ought himself, in other words, the believer, to walk in the same manner he walked. Okay, what's this about? What are the commandments of God? What is the command of God the Father? Say what God the Father instructs him to say. Does only what God the Father would have him to do. And we spent some time last week on the law of Christ and bearing the reproach of Christ. Now, as to how he walked, we are to walk as he walked. How did he walk? People, he walked the same way we can walk, by the Holy Spirit. That's the same way. By faith in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ obeyed the commandments of God by walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ would not, could not obey these commands. Why do I say that? Couldn't he always go to his deity? Because the commandment of God instructs him not to use his deity. That's the whole point. He is not to rely on his deity. He is to remain in his humanity and rely on God's provision. God's provision is God the Holy Spirit. So, he could not obey the commands, fulfill the commands. He would not have obeyed what God wanted him to do if he had done it in the deity. Oh, he would have gone to the cross in his deity. He would have done this in his deity. But that's not the command of God. God has him to do it in his humanity. To do it in his deity is not the plan of God. We could not love as Christ loved if he loved from his deity. So how do we keep the commandments? His commandment to us, his command to us, commandments to us, by walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. You don't need a book. You need one or two sentences. That's all there is to it. And then he says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, maybe you will, maybe you won't, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. All right. What are his Father's commands? What are his Father's commands? His Father's commands are to speak the words that he has given. His Father's commands are eternal life. We saw that passage last week. And he is to do only the things that he is instructed to do, to die on the cross, and finally, always to be in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he, God the Father, has set upon him. People, God the Father doesn't give Jesus Christ or us the Holy Spirit for us to ignore him. He gave it to us to walk by him. And by remaining in the Spirit, he, Jesus Christ, will abide in his Father's love. Same way we abide in his love, he abide in the Father's love. He is our example. Don't take your eyes off of him. He is our example. For the love of God the Father came to the humanity of Jesus Christ the same way that it comes to us by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This gives us a different dimension of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have focused on this fruit as flowing through us to others. Spiritual love. Love one another. But as far as abiding in love is also a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We can go through the Divine Nine in Galatians. But what I'm trying to say to you here is a fruit of the Holy Spirit is that if you continue to walk in him, By doing that, you will be abiding in the love of Christ. Does that make sense? So what is a fruit of the Spirit? A fruit of the Spirit is abiding in the love of Christ. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we do. In order to abide in his love, we have to walk in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, his fruit, you're abiding in the love of Christ. So this is very important. I've never seen this, heard anybody talking about it, but it is so vital to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If we want to abide in the love of Christ, you've got to continue to walk in the Spirit. It can't be just, I need to abide in his love. I need to think about his love. No, it's I need to be walking by faith in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Just making a long list and then obeying these things does not accomplish these things. It's not abiding in his love. First, we abide in his love by walking by faith in the Spirit. We walk by faith in the Spirit. We're abiding in his love. We bear much fruit. That's the whole thing. I can either do it from the top to bottom or the final ground floor. Walking by faith in the Spirit, you abide in his love, you produce the fruit. And this discussion of fruit bearing and abiding in Jesus Christ introduces another fruit of the Spirit. Look at verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Now, people, we could spend a couple of months here, but I hope we can get through this tonight. But it's a powerful, powerful verse. We don't think too much about the being in fellowship as a joy. But I want to show you that's what Jesus Christ is here saying. Okay, these things covers the first 10 verses about the fruit bearing and glorifying the Father. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. Having mentioned love in verse 10, Jesus Christ now moves to joy. Love, joy, peace. He now moves to the joy. He just had taken up the ministry of the... So I know that his whole mindset is in dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. So these things covers the first 10 verses and dealing with fruit bearing, dealing with glorifying God the Father, abiding in his word. All of these things are together in enjoying and having this joy inside of us. So now, this is what's most interesting. First, you bear fruit. You glorify God the Father. So first of all, we bear fruit. we glorify God the Father. Secondly, if we bear much fruit, you demonstrate that you're disciples of Christ, you're followers of Christ. And third, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. People, without saying, like in a speech, all right, the number one priority is abiding in my love. But just by saying it, he's made it a priority. Just by saying it, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. He's made abiding in the love of Christ a priority in all of our lives. These things I have spoken to you, dative of advantage. It is to your advantage that Jesus Christ has spoken these things. It is to our advantage that we have his doctrines spoken to us, that his word can abide in us. There are just so many things that just fit together, like the hands of the glove, just fit together like this in regard to all that we're studying here. That my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Okay, before we start looking at it. One, we know that Jesus Christ said joy. My joy. That same joy may be in you. Not only that, that joy may be full. What does that tell us? There are levels of this joy. This joy has magnitude. It's like spiritual love. Spiritual love has magnitude. No greater love hath any man than this. Love has magnitude. Well, joy has magnitude. Sometimes you're just a little happy. Sometimes you're a little bit more happy. But here, he desires that our joy be made full. So having full joy, I want you to think about day in and day out of your life. Your life, by abiding in his love, you can have a joy that is surpassing, unsurpassing. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. All right, first, my joy. This is the joy of Jesus Christ during the life of his humanity while here on earth. Namely, the 3 years of public ministry. That's the main core here. He had this joy, I'm sure, throughout his life, but under adversity to have this joy. Being plotted against to be murdered. Being betrayed by your friends. Being beaten and accused, falsely accused. He had this joy. He had this joy. So my joy, this is the life of Jesus Christ. This is the joy of Jesus Christ throughout his life on earth. Now it is a desire of Jesus Christ, and this tells us more about him. We learn about Jesus Christ here. What do you think about Christ? It is his desire that we share that joy. That's unbelievable. So he had it, and what else do we learn? He desires that we have this joy. So it is a desire of Christ that we share his joy. Now I want you to note in the prayer of Jesus Christ, chapter 17, look at chapter 17, verse 13, please. Chapter 17 is his prayer. Verse 1, these things Jesus spoke. Lifting up his eyes into heaven, he said, Father. Okay, this is his prayer. Now let's drop down to verse 13. But now, I come to you, Heavenly Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. People, hopefully whatever you pray for is important to you. Whatever you thank God for, you thank God for the church, you thank God for your health, you thank God for your husband, for your wife, these things, then these things become important to you. So here is so important that they, the world, the body of Christ, may have my joy, and not just have my joy, but made full in them. This is very important in Christ, the magnitude of this inner happiness that we have in Jesus Christ. This is possible, his joy being made full in us, if we understand where his joy comes from. Where does joy come from? Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. People, I hate to just, it may sound like to you I'm just browbeating this thing, but I have no other way of wording it. Where does joy come from? It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So this comes from the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. So, you want to know about your Savior? While he was here on earth. We weren't here with him, but you want to know about him? Know that he constantly abided in his Father's love. Constantly abiding in his Father's love. And secondly, he constantly experienced this great joy. No matter what was going on, he was in his Father, abided in his Father's love, and he experienced this great joy. And all of this looking forward to the suffering of the cross. He knew that he must suffer the cross, the death on the cross, yet he remained abiding in the love of God the Father. If for one moment he said, you know what, I don't want to go to the cross, he would have been out of the abiding in the love of Christ, of God. So he remained there. And the point is, so can we. So can every one of us. Just constantly abiding in his love. Jesus Christ's joy was a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and he rejoiced in pleasing the Father. He rejoiced in doing the will of God the Father, glorifying God the Father. And that's why he said, if you remember, we were just reading along, and all of a sudden in verse 8, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Where did that come from? Christ was constantly aware of glorifying God the Father, pleasing the Father. This was his rejoicing. This was his joy. This was his inner happiness, doing the will of the Father, glorifying the Father. So another one of those each one of us can rejoice in. And just looking forward, he saw forward to the cross, but doing the will of the Father, he found rejoicing in. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we want to know verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. People, we can have joy. Americans haven't really had to pay the price to follow Christ. I think we might. I think it's coming. And as we look at things that are happening in our country, and this is not being too overdramatic, history's filled with it, the tale of two cities, the French Revolution, the rise and fall of nations, there's nothing guaranteeing this nation's going to stand, and it hurts us who love this country, who love our Constitution and believe that the principles in the Constitution are forever oriented in time. But we're now told, no, they're not. They're old-fashioned by judges, by Supreme Court judges, by people who make decisions. And this hurts us. But people, we can't let our happiness and joys and all of that be in what's happening to America. It's the body of Christ. It's the glorification of Christ. I pray more. We were talking about praying for America. I pray more for my grandchildren who have to grow up in all of this, that they'll be able to stand firm, that they'll be protected until they reach an age where they're strong enough in the Word and in the Spirit and these things to make that stand. That's my prayer. I mean, if America comes and goes, I'm sorry, because it's been a great country, but that's the way of history. It's the way of all it. Like I said, my favorite page in all these books, take a world history book and just look at the table of content. And the rise and fall of nations, the rise and fall of nations. Did we think this was going to last forever? It's a democracy. A democracy is designed to collapse by its very design. I gave you all that deal some time ago, that once the people in a democracy realize they can vote themselves money, it's over. The democracy is over. So let's get ready just to move on from that point and take that. I don't like living in it, in that this part of American history, but if this is where God says we're going to live, then fine. We've got to set our joy beyond America. Got to set our joy in the plan of God. We've got to set our joy in what's going to happen after we die. That's got to be our joy. So this is what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 is all about. Now let's go back to John 15. John 15, verse 11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. My joy may be in you. Question, how may this joy be in us? Okay, we can quickly say, by the Holy Spirit. But let's go to context. How can this joy be in you? In context, Jesus Christ tells us that He has spoken these things, all things in verses 1 through 10, that, in order that my joy may be in you. Well, what has He said? That gives us a clue as to how this joy may be in us. One, bearing fruit. Two, glorifying God the Father. Three, keeping His commandments. Four, abiding in His love. I have said these things, taught you these things, that my joy may be in you. What has He talked about? Bearing fruit, glorifying God the Father, keeping the commandments, abiding in His love. We have been told these things, that His joy may be in us. Now, I'm going to give what most everybody will give, and then I want to go to the deeper stuff. But people, there is a joy. If you're in the Spirit, there's a joy in telling somebody about Jesus Christ. There's a joy in restoring, helping to restore another believer. There's a joy in giving into the plan of God. There's a joy. This is good. I know I'm in the right. There's a joy related to it. But this joy goes even deeper than that. This joy is a fruit of the Spirit. The joy of Jesus Christ was keeping His Father's commands, bearing fruit directed by His Father, therefore glorifying His Father, and abiding in His Father's love. Everything that He said to us, He pointed out to us, I do that. I bear fruit. I glorify the Father. I keep His commandments. I abide in His love. You do that with mine. You abide in my love. So if you desire this joy, if you desire this joy to be in you, then we have to keep His commandments, bear fruit, glorify the Father, abide in His love. That's what He's saying. I have said these things. What things has He said? These are the things that He said. So this is what Christ is here teaching us. The secret to all this, to all these things, bearing much fruit, glorifying the Father, keeping His commandments, abiding in His love. The secret to all these things is the how. This is where a lot of preachers don't help their people. It's easy just to observe here, well, you got to bear much fruit and glorify the Father, keep His commandments, abide in His love. Hey, I'm heavy laden with all of that. That is too much for me to do. Every one of those are like a 100-pound bag. And I just cannot carry 400 pounds. How am I going to do that? How am I going to bear much fruit? How am I going to glorify the Father? How am I going to keep His commandments? How am I going to abide in His love? So the great question is, the great secret is, how? And people, the answer is so simple. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Let Him carry the 100-pound bag. He will cause us to bear much fruit. He will cause the Father to be glorified through us. He will cause us to keep His commandments, and He will cause us as His fruit to abide in the love of Jesus Christ. But few people see this, and I mean very few in America. Very few people see all of this. I hate to tell you, I was at a pastor's conference 2 weeks ago, heard a handful of different speakers. Not one emphasized the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Not one. Even John Whitcomb. And John and I, Dan was sitting further back in another place with his wife, but John and I, where's the Holy Spirit in all of this? This is something that we can do. We cannot do this. I'm sorry. We cannot bear much fruit. We cannot glorify God the Father. We cannot keep His commandments. We cannot abide in His love by the will of the flesh. I don't care how committed a person is. It can't be done. Many refuse to see the all-important ministry of the Holy Spirit. They just refuse to see it. Many refuse to see the all-importance of God the Father. And I'm afraid many refuse to see even the ministry of Jesus Christ in our lives. But multitudes, really, the real failure is to see the ministry of the Holy Spirit and to grasp the importance of the Holy Spirit while Jesus Christ is absent from this earth. We just fail to see the importance of the Holy Spirit. And this is the great problem. And as I've said before, and I'll probably say it many more times as we continue to move in the direction this country's going. Where we are today, I blame the pulpit. Way back, the pulpit lied about the gospel, distorted the gospel, stopped teaching on the gospel, pastors stopped studying and teaching verse by verse, word by word in the Bible. And I'm just sorry. The problem in America is a spiritual problem. And when you do not have that spiritual fiber, where we are is a result. All of the degeneracy we have, the homosexuality, the idolatry, all of the horrible things going on in this country, it's a country without God. It's a country without Christ. I was talking to grandchildren just this morning. And they were talking how they had a friend who goes to a public school. They go to a Christian school, two of them do. And they were saying how their friend, she's just boy crazy. That's all she can think about. And it just gave Judith and I just a good opportunity to tell them, that's all they have. You have Jesus Christ. You have the importance of God in your life. You have the importance of the Bible in your life. You have the importance of your parents in your life. So you're not hunting and looking for something to fill up that void. And you need to fill up the void. When you reject God, reject Christ, reject His Word, something has to fill up the void, and the world fills it up with something. And this is where we are in this country today. So I firmly, adamantly blame the pulpit for where we are in this country. In John 14, Jesus Christ spent time telling us of the sending of the Holy Spirit. We are told that we can do nothing on our own in this very chapter, but are completely dependent on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the secret to having this joy inside of us is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the secret of having the inner happiness and the love is in the Holy Spirit. And people, His Spirit will direct you to His Word, where His Word will abide in you. This is very important, to have His Word abiding in us, to fill up that void. This brain has to keep thinking, keep putting something in there. And it'll either be the trash of the world or the glory of Christ. One or the other is going to fill up that void inside of our head. So His Spirit will direct you in His Word. His Spirit will cause His Word to abide in you. His Spirit will empower you to bear the fruit. His Spirit will cause you to glorify God the Father. His Spirit will allow you to abide in His love. His Spirit will cause you to experience this joy. You see that all of this, but if we put it all together, John 13, 14, and 15, three chapters, 13 and 14, the upper room, 15 right after the upper room, becomes so clear that we cannot leave the Holy Spirit out of any of these things. It makes a beautiful scenario of what we have in these three chapters. To lose the power of the Holy Spirit is to break fellowship with Jesus Christ. To lose that fellowship, lose that joy. Now, David, and I'm going to go ahead and start on this, we won't finish it, but David is a perfect example of this. King David, when David sinned with Bathsheba, he offered a most interesting prayer. Let's look at Psalm 51, please. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Now we're going to start, we're not going to cover the whole psalm, we're going to start at verse 7. David goes through some of the things we desire in being restored from sin and the Holy Spirit. This is a powerful list. Just things that we want. When we're out of fellowship, we want back in fellowship. Here are the things that we want. And one thing I have not emphasized enough is the joy. Just the joy of being in fellowship with Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm usually emphasizing things we can do and all of this. But just the joy of being in fellowship with Jesus Christ and with God. All right. What I want to do first is just read through, and then we'll come back and look at them. So we'll start at verse 7. Purify me. That's one thing I want. Purified. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. What does that mean? Well, we're going to look at it. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. So here, look what we've got now. Joy, gladness, and rejoice in verse 8. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence. Do not take thy Holy Spirit away from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Joy, gladness, rejoicing, joy. These are just some of the ways of expressing the joy of being in the power of the Holy Spirit, people. Just being in fellowship. Now, we're not going to study this in detail, but let's just note some things as we read through verse 7. Purify me. I want to write this on the board because we got to go somewhere with this. That. Just to make sure we understand it. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Look at Job 4:17. First book given to us. Job 4:17. Can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before his maker? All right, now, the Job passage puts this in the framework of an unbeliever. David puts it in the framework of a believer. People, as believers, we have to be pure before God. And whenever we're in sin, we're not pure. Look at chapter 15, verse 14. Job 15. Job 15. Verse 14. What is man that he should be pure? People got to understand how important this is. These are vital questions in here, and I'm just picking the ones that deal with purity. We did not deal with the ones that are righteous and just. What is man that he should be pure? Or he was born of a woman that he should be righteous? But we want to look at the purity. Look at chapter 25, Job 25. Job 25, verse 5. If even the moon has no bright, and that's him, that's Satan. If even the moon has no righteous brightness, and the stars are not pure in his sight, those are the angels, are not pure. Okay, people, we're dealing with pure. Pure and righteousness are required at both salvation one, eternal life salvation, and salvation two, our spiritual recovery from sin. So here is a believer desiring purity as a believer under grace recovery. Now I just want to cover a little bit because it's so fascinating with hyssop. In some of the Old Testament sacrifices, the relationship between the shed blood of the sacrificial animal and the sinner was taught by sprinkling the blood from the sacrifice on the sinner, showing them a relationship. And it was sprinkled with hyssop. Hyssop is that which carries the mediator between the work of Christ on the cross and the believer. To give you another understanding of what is involved with hyssop, at the Exodus, the blood... Remember how we talk about how the blood is on the portals of the door? It's applied with hyssop. This is the mediation between the work of Christ and those who will believe in Jesus Christ. One more. Look at John 19. The Gospel of John 19. This is a very short look at hyssop, but it'll give you an appreciation of how important our purity is related to the work of Christ. John 19, and let's read verses 28 and 29. 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, that means the payment of salvation, in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a bunch of hyssop. It actually says upon hyssop. And brought it up to his mouth. So hyssop is a ceremonial lesson applying the work of Christ on the cross to the unbelievers being pure and of the believers being pure. So this is, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now we'll start here next week, but look at verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. What does that mean? Let me give you an idea as we close tonight, and this, I didn't want to close, but I've got too much here. Let's take husband and wife, two good friends, whatever, you have a close relationship, and when you're at odds with each other, you don't hear the sound of joy. You don't hear it. It's not there. He's saying, let me be back in fellowship where I hear sounds of joy, sounds of happiness. And that's what we're going to see is happening in verse 8 and following. what happens when you're restored in fellowship with Him. Cause me to just hear. To hear and to experience the joy, the gladness of just being together. Now the gladness, well, I'm going to be telling the whole thing, but the joy deals with that inner joy that you just, we're no longer at odds. And then, and you say, what's the difference between joy and gladness? Gladness, as I'm going to show you, is a celebration of that being back together. It may be lovemaking for husband and wife. It may be a meal. It may be just enjoying each other again. But that's the gladness, the celebration of the joy of being back and restored. This is a powerful point in experiencing this joy that we have in Christ. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much that Your Son desired us to have this joy. He did not desire us to go through life moping and moaning and just, oh, life's so heavy and hard. But that we should have full joy. It has been granted us to suffer for Jesus Christ. But in the midst of all this suffering, You've provided an inner happiness, an inner joy. Father, we praise You. Pray that Your Spirit will take the things we've seen tonight about abiding in His love. Cause these things to be real inside of us. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen.